Good morning, podcast audience. Local 304, Ohio Valley District, and of course, as always, my branch, Columbus, Ohio. This morning's podcast, I'm going to dedicate the podcast to what I call a response to some, for lack of a better word, some bullshit. We had another town hall meeting, and again, I just think it's terrible that somebody in the higher ups in the post office actually entrusts the current acting plant manager with a plant of that size. Again, I don't know where his thought process comes from, nor do I need to know, but I'm sure that most of the employees, like myself, are used to, if we had to sum it up, a lot of hot air, but the balloon just not sailing. Now, because I try to keep all the podcasts at 15 minutes, I'm going to try to address in 15 minutes of what he talked about in 1 hour session that took place three different times during the day. Let's start off with overtime. It is my understanding that he started his meeting off. Oh, and by the way, let me say, I did not attend the meeting. I was feeling a little ill that morning. But you know, people talk to me. And from what people are telling me, I'm going to give it back to you this morning. Overtime. He started off by saying, did anybody ever hear him say no overtime? My understanding is the masses raised their hand, and he came back with a rebuttal. He never said that. Well, now, right off the bat, let me say this. If you had, to the acting plant manager, if you had a meeting with your supervisors, and I'm sure you did, because they wouldn't do it without your authorization, and you told them no more overtime, if you only meant no begin tour, if you only meant no non-sked days, but you told them no overtime, that message was put out on the floor from you. So when you go into a meeting amongst the employees, and what you basically said is all your managers lied when they put out to the employees that you said no more overtime. So how do you expect those same managers to get behind you and support you sincerely on what you're doing, and you just embarrass them in front of the craft? And in addition, with respect to overtime, to the podcast audience, tell me, how childish does this sound to you? You have a postal executive ranting and raving because postal employees drive nice cars. In fact, I'm not quoting, I'm paraphrasing. The acting plant manager put on a little production in front of the craft, saying those employees that have nice cars, the Cadillacs, Mercedes, those employees better get a part-time job because they're not going to pay for those cars from overtime working here. Now, again, as a postal executive, what does it matter to you what anybody drives? Why should that even be a concern of yours? But again, that just goes to show the type of leadership that you're actually bringing to Columbus. And in the middle, I have to ask, I hear no fight back or no response back from your union. Again, just another reason why Ken Hodge should be the obvious choice for local president this coming election. Back to my subject matter. We talk about, and now the acting plant manager, I mean, just stays on this kick, trying to, I don't know, impress or impose on people that we're broke. Anybody who follows the news understands that we're losing money. But just because people understand we're losing money, if a serious firm was to actually look at the day-to-day operations, and I'm only talking in Columbus, it would be very clear why we lose a lot of money. Not all the money, but a lot of money. You say we're losing money, but you're about to as the TV show goes, Pimp My Ride, you're about to pimp our cafeteria out. We have big flat screen TVs all over, comfortable couches that I don't know who really wants to sit in them after the first week. Oh, and the new addition is going to be pool tables. You can't sit in front of employees on one hand, threaten to take money from them.
Oh, yeah, but contribute to CFC.
Cry that the company's broke, and then you put together a committee for a Paint My Cafeteria committee. First of all, to the individuals on the committee, nothing but the best to you. Gives you a chance to work inside of the team dynamics, so to speak. But I want to say, everything that all these extra committees that the acting plant manager is putting together should be discussed at your labor management meeting. So a process is already in place. Again, additional funds spent while you're crying broke. One other topic that he touched on, I guess, and tried to pay accolades, was productivity. They had little contests going sprint to the finish or race to the finish or whatever to the finish in certain departments based on the number that they came up with were given certificates. Now, again, before I give you or before I dump the negativity on you, let me say congratulations to all those employees who were acknowledged and congratulations to all those employees who were not acknowledged. I guess he could have had at least a participation trophy for you. No, but listen, first of all, the post office don't have productivity. I challenge anybody to show me productivity for any persons that work for the post office. It's kind of complicated, but when the post office originated as a service industry, now they went to a production industry, but they forgot to change some vital things. So listen to me when I say to you, and again, you can go through all the arbitration decisions that you want. There is no actual productivity for employees. The post office still has to accept your best is your best. I don't care what anybody tells you. I'll stand behind that 100%. So when you understand that, now I want to give you paint a little different picture about why we can't be productive and why I'm so hard on postal management because it is their fault. How many people are aware of the machine called the apps? Everybody should be if you're postal. If not, it stands for, it's a package sorting machine. Now, when the post office bought that machine, Martin Marietta came in, or whatever company, I'm not sure, I'm pretty sure it's Martin Marietta. They came in, and they brought their team of people in while they built, I mean, they emplaced the machine. And once the machine was in place, they had all the computer gear lined up. They left a team there to rate the productivity before it was accepted by the post office. Now, I got to tell you, once they built that machine and fit it to Columbus, let's be for real, they're going to accept it. I don't care what kind of productivity. The only difference is they may not accept it on Monday, but by Friday, they're accepting that equipment. But let's keep moving. There are a number of people on the machine. I'm pretty sure on the apps it's around 22 to 25. But when Martin Marietta was there, there was 22 to 25 people on that machine every single night. So stay with me now. So the post office accepted a piece of equipment that they said with 25 people, we can have a production of XYZ. So they signed for the machine. Martin Marietta left. Post office now owns the machine. Now keep in mind, the production standards or the test was running mail with X number of people yield so much productivity. Well, as soon as the manufacturers leave, the first thing the post office does is reduce the staff. Now, again, I'm not sitting here trying to be a professor of productivity or anything of the such. But all I'm saying is, if I buy a machine that with 25 people assigned to it, it's going to yield XYZ, then I'm going to build a production model or production table based on that number. So now once what the post office does is they try to be slick. They've lost the ability to deal fairly. So as soon as the company leaves, 25 personnel goes down in some cases to 12 and in some days to 9. But you know what? The expectation for the same productivity is still expected. And what that does is that's what puts an unnecessary burden on employees, and it causes tempers to be short, and it causes a lot more friction or bad feelings within the work environment. Because I'm telling you, employees, especially those in Columbus, Ohio, where I currently work, management is giving you all a raw deal. They sign for a piece of equipment with 25 people. It can give XYZ. They give you 10 and expect the same XYZ. And now you start looking at your employees like they're lazy. They don't move fast enough. That's not the game, folks. And it's time we wise up to the game. If you purchase, now if I'm in the union position, these are questions, again, and I do mean questions that I'm going to ask somebody. Before you start leaning on my mail handlers, let's take a look at what it is that we're talking about. Well, if you've got an app that you signed into business with a staff of 25, now don't get me wrong, I fully understand you can change that any way, any kind of way you want to do postal management, not even trying to question that. But what I'm saying is the union should be smart enough, or the union has to be smart enough to say, well, listen, if I signed this machine over to you with 25 people and it gave you a productivity of 50,000, well, if you use 12 people, then you should only expect around anywhere from 24, maybe 25,000. And if you are getting that, then your productivity or your targets, I don't even like to use the word productivity, or your machine productivity is met. But no, the post office says, we bought the machine and we bought it with the understanding of 25 personnel will yield 50,000 pieces of mail. Well, guess what? We know better than the people who designed this equipment. We know better than everybody at Martin Marietta who put this together for an XYZ productivity yield. And the real sad part is the employees, my fellow mail handlers, we do not have our eyes open wide enough to see this. And you got to understand that you have a job to do, and your job to do is not everything. Postal management, since they've been inundated with the Lean Six Sigma, again, I think that's totally contrary to your contract, but that's another podcast. But they want that no point during your day should you have a rest period or work. And I'm telling you, that's not how it is. Nobody's job, not a person's job, is designed that you are constantly engaged in that job for 8 full hours a day. I'm sorry, the world is not put together like that. So if you have slack moments within your job where you might be able to catch a breath or you know, take a temporary relaxing break in place at work, well, the post office says every free moment you have, well, we're taking that and we're going to assign you other duties. I'm just simply saying I understand the managerial principle, but that's just not the way the world works. And to the APWU, the clerks, the processors there, I understand some processors were acknowledged and some weren't. Well, I want to say, and again, what I say in $1.25 will get you a large cup of coffee. But I want to say, hey, outstanding job to all of you, because you do exactly what they expect the employees on the apps to do. Every delivery barcode sorter, there should be 2 people. Most days you run full tours with 1, but they expect the productivity of that machine to be the same And I'm telling you, that is just absolutely crazy. I don't care how fast you are. I don't care how good of an employee you think you are. You are not going to do the job of two processors on a delivery barcode sorter. I'm sorry, not going to happen. Why? Because every time that bin or that mail in a stacker hits a full pocket, that stops the machine. You see, if you have two people there, while one is feeding, one is constantly sweeping. See, that is the intent. That is how that machine is supposed to be operated. But what you get is one person, which means you are now responsible for feeding any jams, sweeping out the machine. So what you do is you'll run that machine for X amount of time, stop, we'll sweep the whole machine out, and then run it some more. But again, that's not the purpose of that machine. That's not the design of that delivery barcode sorter. That delivery barcode sorter is designed that it runs continuously. And if you have the second person, which completes your natural complement, that person is sweeping, and thereby you should reduce the number of times that machine stopped considerably. And those of you that work on a delivery barcode sorter by yourself, maybe some days ask your supervisor to show you the report of all the full pockets that you have, and every time that full pocket occurs, then that stops the machine. And every time that stops the machine, the number that the Postal Service requires that the machine produces that pushes it further away. See, this is how a strong union understands what's going on and keeps management from breathing down the employee's neck. But I got to tell you, worldwide, again, I'm not really seeing that. I'm not really hearing that. But I want to say I have the opportunity to bring about that change in Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. And I need your vote. I need your support to help me make that happen.
And I'd like to leave with one more note to my brothers and sisters in the APW, Columbus, Ohio. When your supervisor assigns you a machine, get in the habit of asking the supervisor what's expected of you for that day's work. Now, let me tell you, it's going to irritate them, but the purpose of it, so again, it's supposedly, the purpose is, if you get the supervisor used to telling you the target number that that machine is required to process at to be successful with two people, if you get them to do that with regularity, a light is going to go on, and they're going to understand that, wait a minute, it is unfair of me to hunt this person down and try and get it done with one. So that's what the purpose of that is. It's not to antagonize, but it helps educate everyone. So again, just ask that supervisor for the expectations of you on that day, and then once you're given them, simply ask, is that for one or two people running this machine? And when they tell you that's for two, because that's how they have to set it up, hopefully that supervisor will, the eyes will open up a little bit and say, wait a minute, if they expected $150,000 with two and I only have one, well, I really can't be mad no matter what productivity the one person gives me. That's my podcast for this Friday morning. I'd like to say to Columbus, Ohio, and to mail handlers and postal employees all over, keep your eyes open. Because particularly in Columbus, Ohio, management does not seem to even attempt to deal fairly. There's a whole lot of tricks and magic shows. Abracadabra, watch me paint the cafeteria while productivity goes down the tube, while we're backing mail up, while we don't have money to give you gloves. I mean, all this is going on. So I want you to keep your eyes open and pay attention, and most importantly, know your job and do your job. Hey, future local president Kenny Haas saying, let's have a great day.